Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Dr. Paul Esposito. God bless you all out there. God bless you, my friends, family, church family. I'm so grateful you've taken 30 minutes of your day to join me. And, you know, it's wonderful to hear back from many of you. And I see people from a UPS driver to people out here in Brevard County sometimes who stop and say, hey, I hear your program on the radio. And I'm so grateful that you appreciate this program. And God bless you. Thanks for taking 30 minutes of your day here today. Prior to getting started, I think Fridays from now on we're going to have, if I have an open Friday like this, we'll call it Throwback Friday, because we're involved in other series, but I don't like to start a new one on Friday. Last 2 days, you've heard the sermon I just preached last week, and that's where we're going to pick it up this Sunday. I invite you to come to Island Community Church this weekend. We are at 1000 North Banana River Drive. We meet at 10:30 on Sunday. If you are unable to make it, but if you'd like to watch the service, you can do that either on Facebook, on the Island Community Church Facebook page, or download the app, Island Community Church FL. And the FL is for Florida. Believe it or not, there's more than one Island Community Church. You know, we ran into one down in Island Marauda in the Keys, and I was dying to stop in there and say hello to that pastor. So that live feed will kick off at 10:35 on Sunday morning. So if you're unable to make it, or if you belong to another church, you can come back later in the day and watch the service. It's going to be an excellent text, and I'm excited about preaching it. The text is 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Little children, it is the last hour. And you've heard that the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come. By this, we know it is the last hour. Now, that's my sermon this week. But let me say, what makes me saying that different than Martin Luther or someone else 500 or 1,000 years ago saying it? There's a difference, and there's an answer to that question. That's my sermon here this week. If you can't join us, you'll hear it on the radio here next week, or you can go back and watch it on demand Sunday afternoon. So, okay, everyone, God bless you. Have a wonderful weekend. Looking forward to seeing you on Sunday or joining us right here on the radio station here, WGOD Radio. This will play just one part today. If you want a copy of it, let me know. I'll send it to you. We're in Acts chapter 5. Our Throwback Friday, we'll be looking at Ananias and Sapphira.
And if everyone, me included, gave to the church the way that Ebenezer Scrooge gave in that fantasy, there'd be a lot less trouble. We'd get a lot more done if everyone gave the way that he did. And yet some people, doesn't he even command that kind of giving, right? Go sell all that you have and give it away and come follow me. You say, oh, that was then, this is now. Don't you hope that that's true? He might call any one of us, though, to do that. That's why I say, and he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Because God can give, he can outgive, and he will outgive you. The looser hold you have on what God's given you is the more he can put into your hands. Now, let me move on here. We're in the book of Acts. Moving right along here. Starting in chapter 5, I've entitled this message, They Used to Fear God Around Here. The church, that is. I once had a pastor tell me, in response to an old sermon title of mine. The sermon was entitled, Should I Fear God? And the pastor told me, quote, if I preach that, it will be the greatest mistake of my ministry, unquote. And since then, church, I've learned to just preach the word in season and out of season. Whatever it says, preach the whole thing. I preach the entire New Testament, and I incorporate the Old Testament as well. Now, Paul said to the Ephesians prior to being locked up, he said, I didn't shy away from preaching to you the whole counsel of God. But anyway, what's all the hubbub? Why would telling church folks to fear God be detrimental to me or make me either a bad preacher or a mistake? Ultimately, the answer is because some people want to think of God as some sort of cosmic bellhop whose primary purpose is to serve you, to make sure that you are comfortable, to see that you are healthy, and that you have enough money, and that you don't face any hardships. When a speaker comes in and upsets that apple cart, then someone has to pay for it. And that, of course, is me. It always has been. But I'll tell you what, I'd much rather suffer for telling you the truth than to suffer at the hand of God for not declaring to you the holiness and the character of God. Wouldn't you rather hear that from me? We're in the book of Acts. Let's pick it up in chapter 5. Actually, let's pick it up in chapter 4, verse 32. For those of you that were in Sunday school this morning, we're on the same chapter right now, and this will be interesting to see how two preachers set out to do the same text. And we're already starting off the same. To start with chapter 5, you got to look at the truth a couple verses earlier. Set the context here. That's chapter 4, verse 32. Now the multitude, we're in Acts 4:32. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things that he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And look at this odd statement it says next. And great grace was upon them all. That's kind of odd. Not great power or great works, but it says, and great grace was upon them. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked. Look what it says next. For what's the next word? All. All who were possessors of lands or houses sold them. Sorry, we're parting company right here. Not some, all. All who had houses and land sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold. And they laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as anyone had need. So another absolute must for those who believe we're living in the time period of the book of Acts. No one said that anything that they had belonged to them. But they went and sold everything they had. And they gave it to the people that knew the color of Jesus' eyes. Because that was a requirement for being an apostle. You had to be an eyewitness of his resurrection. Now in chapter 5, the New King James has the subject heading, Lying to the Holy Spirit. Lying to the Holy Spirit. Chapter 5, verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession. And he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being privy to it. And he brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, there was no crime in keeping something that belongs to you, right? Isn't that what you said this morning? There's no crime in that. But the early church was obviously selling their houses and real estate, all their land, and giving their money to the apostles. Verse 3, but Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? Whoa, who said anything about lying? And what's this about Satan? Why bring him into this? No one lied. He didn't say anything. Yet, it seems from this text that keeping back something from your something for yourself, I put in parentheses, I haven't developed this thought yet. And that is, keeping back something for yourself that was rightfully God's, maybe. Haven't developed that yet. That just hit me this morning. Keeping back something that was rightfully God's was the lie. And the motivator to do this was the devil himself. So he accused them of lying and following Satan. All he did was sell his house. Now let's put a modern spin on this. Members of Island Community Church are supporting five or so families for Christmas. So, four of you come up front in front of the whole church and you leave a wonderful gift for one of the families. Now, the fifth person, husband and wife team, actually the husband does it, but the wife knows it. The fifth person steals the first gift and rewraps it and brings it out front in front of the whole church. And all the church people say, my, oh, my, isn't, now I got to have a name here, that's no one here. I had Bob written down before, and I said, wait a minute, I might get in trouble if I do that. So, George. The church people say, my, oh, my, isn't George a generous soul? In the next deacon's meeting, let's nominate George to be a deacon. And then a pastor when the church grows. Not only that, we'll have George's wife teach all the children here. Look at George. What a great guy. Now Peter continues. Peter says, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? You see, no one forced you to do this. You wanted to be respected and admired and held at the same level of esteem as everyone else that was sold out to God. These people legitimately sold their houses and their land, and they gave it all to the apostles for the advancement of the cause of Christ. But you did it for your own glory. And there was no deceiving the Holy Spirit. This was not going to be tolerated. After it was sold, was it not in your own control? Meaning you could have kept all of it if you wanted. No one told you to do this. Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Now check it out. Peter just said that the Holy Spirit was God. This is one of our proof texts on the doctrine of the Trinity. You have not lied to men, but to God. Lying to the Holy Spirit is lying to God. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is God. That's why Jesus said to baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, because all three are God. The Holy Spirit's no less God than anyone else. 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So, lying to the Holy Spirit is lying to God. Now, verse 5, Ananias, hearing these things, he fell down, and the Greek word says, he expired. Wow! At this historical time of the book of Acts, lying to God was punishable by death. Now, as a result, So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. I bet. Now, what do you think? Now, perhaps next time I won't read this account to you, because I don't want you to think that God is some kind of meanie. Or I don't want you to feel uncomfortable in church. Maybe for that reason I won't read it to you. I don't want you to be uncomfortable. This is a place for Twinkies and Hawaiian punch. I want you to feel good. On the contrary, what God is holy. And if you lie to him, this is the Esposito vernacular today. If you lie to him, you are toast. Might not happen here in the sanctuary, but God is holy. He's still holy. He's always been holy. He doesn't change. His character does not change. So your doctor up here tells you this morning, don't lie to God. Any objections? I got rubber on these. Any objections? So great fear came on all those who heard these things. I can hear it now. Can't you hear it? Psst. Psst. Do you hear what happened to Ananias? He sold his house. Okay, now let me guess and estimate a little bit, all right? He sold his house and he tithed 80% and God killed him. And you want to live in the book of Acts? So great fear came on all those who heard. And it was established from the beginning and the beginning of the church of Jesus Christ that lying to the Holy Spirit won't be tolerated and is unacceptable in the house of God. You don't lie to God in this house. He's holy. You don't lie to him. Now, meanwhile, back at the ranch, here comes Ananias' wife, Sapphira. Like I say, she's coming in. Maybe she just got her nails done. Here comes Sapphira. And she's wondering why Ananias' cell phone, his iPhone, keeps going to voicemail. All right, I'm in the wrong century. She can't get a hold of him, wondering what's up. So right before she walks in the door, we read this. Now the young men arose and they wrapped him up, or they bound him up like the mummy. They wrapped this guy up like a mummy. They bound him and carried him out and buried him. Now about 3 hours later, when his wife comes in, not knowing what happened. So here comes old Sapphira, 3 hours later, verse 8. Now Peter answered, okay, wait a minute. You know you're in trouble when Pete's already in your house. That should be enough of a clue right there. You walk in, you already got a guilty conscience for what you've done, and there's Pete sitting in your living room. If there's any time to fess up, it's now. Tell me, and look at the unmitigated audacity of this liar. Tell me. Remember, great grace was on them. Tell me whether or not you sold the land for so much. And she says, yep, for so much. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, I love the word behold in the Bible. Behold, here come the feet of the guys that buried your husband. They're at the door. And now they'll carry you out. Now here's a visual of some of the awesome power of an apostle. Here are the feet of the guys that buried your husband. Now they're going to haul you out too. Then immediately she fell down at his feet and died. And the young men came in, found her dead, carried her out, and buried her by her husband. Now, as a result, verse 11, so great fear came upon two groups. Number one, all the church. Number two, great fear came on all those that heard, not even the Christians. The unbelievers too, I'm sure of it. Read what happens when Joshua comes to town. Remember when Rahab the harlot, and they sent the two spies there into Jericho, and she says, we've heard all about your God, what he did to Pharaoh in Egypt. And great fear fell on them. Great fear fell on the unbelievers too, not just the believers. Great fear fell on the church, and great fear fell on everyone that had heard this. The church at this point realized that God is holy, and he's not to be reckoned with, and he's not to be lied to. And they, like Aaron's two sons, learned that God is holy. So, a great fear came upon the whole church. Again, can you just hear it now? Who needs Western Union? This is all you need. Psst. Did you hear about what happened to Ananias and Sapphira? So please, don't tell me that we're living in the time of the book of Acts and that things are the same now as they were then. Let me ask the question, if God is the same and does not change, which is true, and like Hebrews 13:8 says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, why is God dealing differently with the church today than he did back then? And I've got two answers to that. Number one, this was the birth and the beginning of the church. It was going to be made known at the outset that lying and deception was not going to be tolerated in the church of Jesus Christ. What do you think? Did that message resonate with these people? Certainly, as we read in Sunday school this morning, it said everyone else was scared to join the church after what happened for these two. I mean, these guys, I'm just going to... I guess conservatively that they gave 70 or 80 or 90% of selling their house. Your house is worth $300,000. You sell it, you give God $290,000, you pocket the $10,000, and he wipes you out. Because you're standing with these people over here that gave it all. You can't stand with this group over here. You just can't do it. Now, I ask the question, why is God dealing differently with the church today than he did then? The second thing I'd have to say is, who's to say he's dealing differently? Who's to say he's dealing differently? Now, Carol, I'm going to ask you to come up here and read this for me. If you would please, while she's walking, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Get your glass. Are you able to see those three verses? All right. Yes. Everybody there? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27. Ask the question, who's to say he's dealing any differently now with the church back in the book of Acts? Okay, verse 27.
Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord is in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord.
Read that again.
Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord.
All right, next verse.
But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body.
Thank you. What's the King James Version have for verse 29? He who eats or drinks in an unworthy manner, what does it say? Huh? Damnation. Thank you, Carol. Out of the King James. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. I uncovered them for you to look at and to contemplate here this morning. I said to you, I asked you before, what makes you think that God changes when he says he does not change? Whoever eats and drinks of this, whoever partakes of this Holy Communion in an unworthy manner, eats and drinks damnation to himself. Judgment is the word. The word krema means judgment. It means God slams down his gavel, looks at me and says, guilty. Guilty of what? 35 and a 30? Jaywalking? Not stopping at a stop sign? Guilty of the body of Jesus Christ. Guilty of the blood. Wow, what a charge. Who says the judgment of God does not apply to the church anymore? Now, verse 30, if you're still there, it says, for this reason. What reason? Abusing the Lord's table. Thinking there's nothing to it. I once went to a church where the pastor had the trombone player give it out. And I heard this sound behind me. And I thought I was in a pig pen full of swine. And someone tapped me on the shoulder. And these communion baskets were being flung all over the place. And people were scarfing it down like jelly beans. And the trombone player gets up and goes, eat, drink, and be merry, everyone.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
Slips in, trying to fade into the faces. The girl's teasing laughter is carrying farther than they know, farther than they know. But if we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? And if we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing them there is a way? 'Cause there is a way. There is. Travel. traveler is far away from home.